So it's a real joy and honor and privilege to have Ian and Marge with us. This is the first time for Storehouse if you've, to introduce you to Ian and Marge. They've been great friends with HBC now for a couple of years, and they come in and out of the church a couple of times a year, but also into the city now as well, into the region. So we're so thankful for their friendship and their input into us as a church, and I'm sure this morning that as we gather together, and they're going to bring something that will really speak into our present situation and our present circumstances. So, guys, do you want to come? Is it Ian first? And I'll just pray and then hand over. So, Father, thank you so much that we get together. Lord, we were praying this morning and just aware, Lord, for these moments where we can come together as a people of God and the privilege that we have to meet openly, to gather, to worship, to listen, to hear from you. And so we thank you for Ian, for Marge, and for this time now as they come to share from your word. May we together have ears to hear what you want to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Well, good morning, everybody. It's been great to be here these last few days. This is the longest time we've ever had in Chester. We arrived on Friday, and we came to a citywide leaders gathering that's hosted with the HBC leadership here. It's just so wonderful to see what is taking place across the city. Jesus only has one church. There is just one church in Chester, one body, one family, and it's because he is such a perfect father that he longs that his family is connected and gathered and joined together. And it's a delight to be here today that Storehouse and HBC are connecting together in deeper relationship and meeting some people from the Storehouse group last night. What a joy. Such great people. So this is just the delight when family comes together, their celebration, isn't there? When our kids who have all grown up, flown the nest, got their own homes, when they're all coming together, there's a lot of noise, there's a lot of celebration. That's the way we like it. This is reflective of what God wants. He wants his kids to not only connect to him, but to connect to one another. And so this whole area of fathering and parenting and being family, I think the Holy Spirit is really leading the church out of what has been institution and what has been hierarchy, and he's leading the church into its true identity, which is family. And in family, we are loved. And in family, we belong. And in family, we are celebrated and take our part. And this is what God is doing, not only here in Chester, certainly in Chester, but he's doing it in many other places. He wants his church for himself. The church doesn't belong to the leaders. Pause for effect. The church belongs to Jesus. He is the one who shed his blood for you and me, and we belong to him. Because we belong to him, we can then belong to one another. So I want to make this legal and turn to the scriptures to show you that this is what it says in the scriptures. So please turn with me to Matthew chapter 23, please. I want to read one verse to you, which is verse 8. This is Jesus talking to his disciples really soon before he goes to the cross. It's at the end of his earthly ministry. And in speaking to his disciples, chapter 23 of Matthew, verse 8, he says, "But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers." The one person who's the teacher, of course, is Jesus himself, who came to show what the Father was like, who came to reveal what heaven's realm is like. And he is our champion. He is our hero because only He can take away the sins of the people. So He did that. He got crucified, took away our sins so that we could be reconciled to God. And He is our teacher. He sends His Holy Spirit to us in order to instruct us how to live. And we, men and women, are all brothers because we are all sons of God. Why I'm saying sons is because in the biblical time, it was sons alone that got the inheritance. And ladies, you also are sons of God. You get the inheritance. There is no distinction in the new covenant between male and female in terms of what people can do. Because it's no longer gender specific. It is down to spirit anointing. Because I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, not just Jewish flesh. And your sons and daughters, they will prophesy, not just your sons. Your young men and old men, they will see dreams, they will see visions and dream dreams. And so whether it's ethnicity or gender or age, these things were defining parameters of the old covenant. In the new covenant, they no longer are the defining parameters. It's what we are in Christ. It's what we are by the Spirit. It's who God has made us by grace that counts. Yes, you can celebrate your femininity. Yes, you can celebrate your masculinity. But we were never to be defined by gender. We were to be defined by Spirit gifting. In this body, by His Spirit, God has put us together. We have one teacher, and we are all brothers. Which means that in Christ, our value is that we are equal value. I may be standing out here, but I am not more valuable than you are. The value on my life is the blood of Jesus. I have been purchased by the most precious commodity in the universe, the blood of Jesus. If you are in Christ, the value on your life is that you have been chosen and purchased by precious blood. It's not what you do that makes you valuable. It's who He's called you to be. You're chosen. And you've been sprinkled by His blood that has been shed for you. You're here today. You are valuable. Can I say this to you? You may be here today and you don't know Jesus. His desire is that you come to know Him because He wants you to belong and to be part of His family. He wants you to know what it means to be connected to His heart of love, to be joined with His family. So family, more and more, is becoming a reality to us that this is how heaven works. Heaven's culture is family life, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's the community of the redeemed that are around the throne that are part of the family of God. And God wants His family to be expressed on earth. And so, just because that there's the same value on our lives does not mean that we are equal in the sense of we're all the same. And this is where society gets mixed up about some things at times. Equality means I can do what the other person can do. I can be whoever I want to be. And that clearly is not the case in the body of Christ, because Paul talks about the body as having many parts and each part being different. And for Paul, he was what he was by the grace of God, not because this is what he chose. And yes, you are valuable But you are different to the person next to you. If you don't believe me, take a look. Different. And so I look at my wife and she's different. There's a grace on her that I don't have. And there's also a grace in me that she doesn't have. And I come into settings like this and there's a grace on people here that I don't have. And so God has put us together as a body so that we can bless and minister to one another. And how the body functions is that each part does its work. Your part is valuable. In a family, it's not just what mum and dad do, it's what every person in the family does is valuable. And in seeing the culture of family emerge in the church these days, I believe God is wanting to strip out hierarchy. Because hierarchy means there are some people that have power and other people that don't. And God is wanting all of us to be released as powerful sons, men and women, that advance his purposes in the nation. For that to take place, we have got to get rid of two misconceptions. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 12. First misconception is this. Chapter 12, verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it's not for this reason any less a part of the body. What is Paul speaking to here? The foot is saying, I'm not as sophisticated as a hand. I'm covered up. I don't have profile because I'm in a shoe for most of the time. The hand is exposed. The hand is so dexterous. It's so able to do things in a way that I can't. I don't feel a part of the body. Can I say in the body of Christ, there is no place for inferiority. If you're not like somebody else, it still means you belong. God wants each of us in this room to be celebrated and released into the fullness of who you were intended to be. And it may be that you're not able to be out here like Ollie and play the guitar as well as he does. But it is not for that reason that you're not a part of the body. Your part is valuable. It may not be seen like Ollie is seen. It may be hidden, but it's still important. So inferiority has no place in the body of Christ. The other thing that has no place is in verse 21 where it says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. My eye is unique. There's no other part of my body that is made like my eye. It is an incredible organ that is able to see so clearly, especially with my glasses on. No other part of my body can see as my eye sees. And its sophistication is such that people and doctors will do amazing things to help people preserve their eyesight. But even though my eye is so sophisticated, it has no right to say to my hand, I don't need you. There is no place in the body neither for inferiority or for superiority because we've all been placed there by Jesus. And in fact, the command of Scripture that Paul says is, from now on, I don't want to know anybody after the flesh. I want to know what they are by the Spirit. What Jesus has made you to be, because I need and require what you have and you require what I have, so that the body makes increase of itself. This is where we celebrate family and begin to finally move away from something that the church has battled with for centuries, which I was sharing with your leadership team last night, is the issue of hierarchy. It was never in the early days of the church. Jesus says, you have one teacher, you're all brothers. But 300 years later, the church took on the structure of the Roman Empire, where there was Caesar, and then all the hierarchy that was under him. The church adopted a leadership that was, instead of Caesar, they have something called Pope. And under the Pope, you have names that don't even appear in the Bible, like Archbishop and Cardinal and Archdeacons, in this cascading environment of hierarchy. And most people are down the bottom somewhere, looking up at this structure that makes them feel insignificant, especially when the guy out the front is doing all the stuff and you've just got to sit there. That is not family. And I'm not criticizing any part of the church. I'm just saying Jesus wants his church back. And even in the Reformation, the Reformation didn't go far enough. And so, the priest is no longer the priest because he's replaced by the pastor. But you can still be focused on, oh, it's all about the pastor. Not you, I mean churches can. But God wants us to be family, not hierarchy. And in family, everybody is loved. Everybody is valued. Everybody is appreciated. Everybody is celebrated. And everybody begins to emerge into the fullness of who God has meant them to be. So from now on, we don't regard anybody after the flesh. It's who we are made by the Spirit. And this is where the Lord is taking us. When you get into heaven's realm and see like John saw, what he saw was this phrase that takes place in heaven. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are holy and almighty. God is, the Father is all-powerful. Jesus is all-powerful. The Holy Spirit is all-powerful. In a hierarchical system, there are few that are powerful and the most are powerless. What does it look like in a family realm where we are released, every one of us, to be powerful in what God has called us to do? If Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are powerful, what does it look like that he gives us his Spirit? What do we receive when the Spirit comes upon us? You shall receive power. God intended us to be powerful. But it means that we express that powerfulness in kingdom perspective and not in earthly perspective. Because in earthly perspective, if there are some people that are powerful, it means there are other people that are powerless. What does it look like for us to soar, be imbued with the Holy Spirit, to flow with Holy Spirit, that not only am I powerful, but you are powerful. And that we run together as powerful people under the presence and anointing of the Holy Spirit, that what God is bringing to emerge these days is a family of powerful sons, men and women, that demonstrate the glory of God to the world, so that people say, whatever you've got, I have no idea, but I want it. Because it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, that's being demonstrated to the world around. And this is how he does it. This is how God does it. He takes the things that are not to confound the things that are. And he comes to a place in South Wales that most people have never heard of. And he says, I'll take Ian Rossall. And I think most people have never heard of the place. But he found me. And even though in the eyes of others, I would have been a nobody, God says, I'll take him. And he came to where you lived. He knew your address. And he drew close to you by his Spirit. And he drew you to himself. And he brought you into his love. And people thought, oh, it'll come to nothing. But God says, watch what I will do when I put my Holy Spirit upon this person. And he's drawn you to himself, and he's brought you to where you are, not that you might become a cog in a wheel, but that you might be somebody that carries his presence and his anointing, and powerfully, along with others in the body of Christ, to demonstrate the nature of heaven's realm. And if he is holy, 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 is the Lord God Almighty, his intent is that his kids on earth are holy. Not because of what they've done, it's because of what Jesus has done. And are powerful, not because of who they are in themselves, but because of the anointing of the Spirit. What does it look like for this family to represent the Father? That are living in holiness, demonstrating the anointing of his Spirit, expressing the power of Jesus to the world around. Beloved, this is your calling. It's not to be part of an institution. It's not to be part of something hierarchical. He's drawn you out that you might carry his very nature and his very anointing into the world in which you live. And Andy's already said it, as you're released this week to go into the fields of service that you have, you're going as sons of the Most High, powerful people, that because you're carrying the living Christ inside of you, you're destined to be making changes in the environment into which you're going. Carrying the living Christ, you cannot walk into that situation and not have an effect. You can't walk in and not cause change because of who you're carrying on the inside. So I'd like you to put your hand on your heart. I'd like you to make confession. Because if God has chosen you and brought you into his family, you can say, I am loved. Go ahead. Say, I am loved. I am chosen. I am accepted in the beloved. And I am valued because of the blood of Jesus. Now, what I'm saying to you today, it's important that you keep affirming that to yourself. Because there's voices out there that are saying something different to you. But you are loved. You are the accepted. You are valued. And you are chosen. So put your hand on the person next to you. Say, I thank you for this person next to me. I thank you that they're different to me. And I celebrate the grace that is on their lives. I say, Father, let the grace of Jesus increase in them. Cause them to come to the fullness of your calling. Because this is going to make me blessed. In Jesus' name. Amen. And so you are to grow into the fullness of who God has called you to be. Not immature kids running around the face of the earth, but mature sons that receive his inheritance and carry his perspective as men and women into the earth. And that we not only grow in what God has given us personally, but we celebrate what God has given the other people that are around us, because the body isn't one part, but many. We require one another to emerge as the powerful new man in Christ to represent him on the earth. And if you're here today, and there's never been a time in your life when you've said, Jesus, I want you to be king of my life. I want you to be the one that is the Lord and director of my life. Because of your love for me, because of your sacrifice for me, you fully gave your life for me. You shed your blood for me. I want to give my life to you. I was 7 years of age when I gave my life to Jesus. I can tell you without a shadow of doubt, it is the very best decision I ever made, to allow him to be the king, the ruler, the Lord of my life. His lordship reorders any mess in our lives. He really isn't fussed about involving in our mess, because he can straighten out the crooked paths. He can bring order to the jumble and the chaos. Next best thing that happened to me was marrying my wife. And so I just want to say, is there anything that you want to share, sweetheart? I've said it all. Believe me, she's going to have plenty of time in the car on the way home to share what she has to say as well, huh? All right. We would be really thrilled to pray for you and bless you if there's things that you want to be prayed for. But our delight is this: each of you merge into the fullness of the calling that has been made from eternity by the Father. If he's given us Jesus, he's given us his very best. He wants us then to receive what comes from him and grow into the fullness of what he's made us to be. I believe Chester is to be a place where unity across the body is to become a hallmark of what God is doing among you. What I saw in terms of the relationships amongst leaders on Friday just so gladdened my heart. As people of different perspectives and different gifts sat in the same room together and shared heart and expressed things in their hearts that were vulnerable and honest and open, I love this. If the leaders are doing this, can you imagine what's going to come to the body? Then yesterday we walk around your magnificent city, and for the first time ever, we walk the walls. And as we're walking around in the delight of the sunshine, you know, the scripture kept coming to me from Psalm 122 about Jerusalem as a city compacted together. I couldn't believe some of the little streets and some of the ways in which you this city has put houses within the city walls, and they're compacted together. You can see it from the walls in a way that you can't see it from the road. That the other alternative translation of that scripture is, Jerusalem is a city that is united together. It's compacted, it's close, but it's united. I believe God wants in Chester for his body to be united in such a way that it becomes a demonstration to other towns and cities in this nation of what it looks like to live in honor with one another, to live in value of one another, to live in appreciation for the grace that's on one another, that the Lord can say, I want to dwell where brethren dwell together in unity. And so it's our joy to be part of what's going on here, participating on Friday, being with leaders yesterday, and being with you as the body. God bless you.
Thank you. I'd just love to pick up on a couple of points. So if I invite Andy out as well. So it's not me speaking on my own behalf. The first thing is, everything Ian said, I love and agree with. So the first thing I want to pick up on is if, as a people that you felt as leaders, we've been hierarchical, we want to apologize for that, because that's not our heart. Our heart is what Ian's sharing, and Andy would agree with that as well. But that's our heart. So if you felt that, that's not our heart. And so we want to give you permission publicly as well that if we are missing it, let us know. Because our heart is we want to be open. And exactly what Ian said, that there's that togetherness that it's not, we're separate from. And I'm convinced that's what transforms. You look how Jesus modeled it. It was family. And that's what brings the transformation. And so I think there's a both responsibility of us not being hierarchical, but also if we are or you feel it, to let us know so that together we can change. So yeah, so if that's come across and we've missed it without realizing it, or you felt it, we just want to apologize publicly to you all, because that's not our heart. So can I just pray around that quickly? So God, I thank you for what Ian shared, and we just say publicly, if we have missed it and we've operated hierarchical as leaders, we repent and we say we're sorry. And we want people to be confident to be who they've been. And we want to create space that everyone can rise up. And we want to create an environment where everyone can speak into everyone. Amen. There's a Rend Collective album, a couple of years old now, that says, as family we go. And I love that, as family we go. And as Ian was talking, one of the things I felt was, he touched on being inferior and breaking that. And I just feel there's a fresh rising up to say, will you allow yourself to be uncovered to be who you are? And that takes a bit of I don't feel like God's saying, you've got to be fully be yourself right now and all sorted. I just feel God saying, will you take the courage to start to uncover yourself, to start to be seen? And because that takes guts, doesn't it, to start to be seen. It's like you're all valuable. Every single part is valuable, which Ian put across so well. Will you start to have the confidence to be seen, to play your part? And can I pray around that? And if that's you, just amen it. If you are really brave and that's you, you can stand up. But I'll leave that to you. So I'll just pray around it. God, I thank you that each one of us is part of your body, that every single person has a part to play. And we, together, we want to agree that none of us are going to hide away. That we're going to start to come out and be who you've created us to be. That we're going to start to go on that journey and be brave and say, here I am. Because we've all got a part to play. And together, if we all do it, it's so much easier. So together, we want to be a family that goes, that just that album, As Family We Go, that's our heart. As family we go. As family we go into the world, and we're going to bring change and transformation as your family. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
So can Ali and the team just come while we just continue? We're going to worship. I think it just feels really significant on the back of that to just really emphasize as well that we want this to be a really empowering and safe place for women. And maybe we've made mistakes in the past, and the church hasn't been any different than the world, really, in the way that it's treated women. And I know, in this room there'll be women who've been abused by men, and the church needs to be a safe place. And we want that to be a safe place. We want HBC Storehouse, this family that we're on mission together, to be a safe place. And we want to draw people in who are broken, who are hurt. And particularly, I think, within, it's Mother's Day in that context of women. I just felt it was important to say that, to say, actually, this can be a safe place where you can come out of the shadows and you can take your place, as Ian was saying, to be the women of God, because we need you. As a man, we can't do this just when the men rise up. We need men and women, and we're the sons and daughters of God. So can we stand together? If you're able to, that'd be great. Just stand with us, and we're just going to lift our hearts, use some songs just to take as a response.
We'll stand to sing Who You Say I Am. At the beginning of John's Gospel, John tells us that Jesus came into the world and that those who received him were made sons and daughters of God. That's who we are, isn't it? Who am I that the highest King should welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in, oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. And the sun sets free. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Through the lies he has ransomed me, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me.
I'm a child of God. Yes,
Messiah.
Marge, what do you have for us?
So, is this on? Okay. We're singing, I Am Who You Say I Am. And I just felt the Father saying, but some people don't know who they are. They don't know. It's saying, I am who you say I am, but what am I? And when Ian was just sharing, it just came to me towards the end about we are all valued equally, but some of us just don't know our value. And what I felt God was wanting to do, and this is a real encouragement for you now for every day, for you to take time to say to Father, who am I? And how do you see me? And to journal it. And it was a journey I went on because, yeah, I can say I'm free, I'm a child of God, I am who you say I am. But I didn't really still know who I was. And I had to take the time to listen to him. And my name means pearl. And when I found that out, I just allowed him to talk to me about what that meant. And it was so beautiful and other things. And my encouragement to you is to take the time every day because he wants to tell you something fresh every day about you. His love is fresh every day. It's fresh manna, it's new manna every day. And if it's negative, it's not him. Any negative thought is not him. But if it's a beautiful, positive thing, believe it is him saying that about you and write it down and journal it. And as you look back over that journaling, you'll be so, so overwhelmed by his love. And you will really begin to know who you are and whose you are. And that will affect wherever you go, because wherever you go, because out there is our mission field. Just because you know who you are and whose you are in more and more depth will change the atmosphere and will change people, even with you just saying good morning to you. So for you to say, Lord, tell me who I am. Tell me how you feel about me today. It's just going to be an amazing journey.
Sets free.
The sun sets free. Who is free indeed? I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
We just want the first verse up. So, I just feel in this moment that as we've been talking about family, and we've been talking about we've all got a part to play, I felt like some of us in this room need to receive that hope. Now it says you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And I don't know where you are in terms of your heart or your hopes. Whether you feel like you're in darkness. But I just feel like I want to give a bit of freedom for people to move around. Just as we continue to worship with this song. But to move around and maybe just go and stand by somebody that you just want to go and stand with them and just pray that verse over them. Pray that declaration of truth that you give hope, you restore. Where things need to be restored in your life this morning, I believe God is saying that he wants to restore this morning. Where your heart is broken, then God wants to bring his healing and his restoring and just bring that hope. Above everything else, as Christians, as believers, we should be people of hope. And we carry that hope. So please just do that. Just move around and just go and stand by somebody. Go and sit by somebody. Go and just put a hand on somebody's shoulder. Get permission to do it first. Don't just sort of jump on someone. But just say, can I just stand with you? I want to just release hope over you, over your life. And we'll just continue to worship quietly in the background. Just take a few minutes to do this. So just move around and just respond as you feel led by the Spirit this morning. Psalm 66 tells us that all of creation will praise God. All of creation will sing His praise. All the earth.
All the earth will shout Your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing.
Praise. Should we sing one more song? If you've got children out in the classes, then you do need to go and collect them. But do bring them back through, and if you want to go and get a drink, that's fine as well. You bring the hatch up, ladies, that's great. But let's sing a final song, and we'll take our offering during the song as well. Otherwise, I'll get in trouble because I nearly forgot it. So please, let's just sing together one more song, guys. That'd be great.
Sing Build My Life, Mark.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of every praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We lift to You. Jesus, the only name above every name. Jesus, the only name we could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. Oh, live for You. Holy, there is no one like You. There is none beside You. Open up my eyes.